Jeffrey Lord joins us from the American Spectator, Conservative Review, Newsmax TV, and thejeffreylord.com. Jeffrey, we wait on pins and needles for the Chauvin verdict, the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial, and to see what comes out of it. Maxine Waters had a few choice words about this over the weekend. I'm sure you saw that. And how are you, my friend?
I am just fine. As a matter of fact, I'm writing a few words about Maxine Waters. I do believe that what she said qualifies as what she called Donald Trump doing. This would be incitement and insurrection. And I am waiting to see what Nancy Pelosi will do about it. Interestingly, Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader of the House, is also waiting to see what Nancy Pelosi will do about it. And so I'm suspecting we have not heard the last of this. But, whatever happens here in this verdict, I mean, we've got to get beyond the deal that whatever a verdict is, yay or nay, that people in various cities just decide to erupt into riots. This is not good for the American system. I mean,
no, of course not.
It's bad stuff, and we got to get ourselves past this for sure. You know, I saw an interesting story today when I was reading up. I mean, I forget what city this was in, but there was a police shooting. They chased a carjack suspect who got out of the car and shot. And word of this spread to the BLM folks in the area, and they were gathering to protest. And then they found out that the shooting victim was a white guy.
Ah, well, never mind.
and they disbanded.
Yeah. Why did you just assume that he was black, huh? Why was that where your head went immediately? That's
exactly
what I'd like to know. Black Lives Matter.
This is what happens when you abandon Dr. King's judge people by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. And this is not good.
It's distressing because, of course, I came from Minneapolis. I see streets, pictures of streets with National Guardsmen on them and, you know, familiar streets that I've been on countless times. And you've got, you know, walls up and you've got plywood over windows and people saying, children live here. This is an apartment complex. Please don't burn. And you're like, the fact that you have to beg rioters, who will probably ignore your begging, you have to beg them not to damage your structure or damage your building, is a sad state of affairs. And it just is proof that these people who claim to want justice are damaging the very neighborhoods of the people that they claim to be fighting for. When you destroy a business in one of these neighborhoods, that's owned by somebody who lives in that neighborhood. That's owned by somebody who's then going to say, never mind, I guess I can't do business here. They're going to pack up and leave. You're driving them away. What have you really accomplished here?
Exactly. You know, and I wrote about this at the time. I'll never forget, and I wish I could remember her name. There was a older black woman in the Bronx, I believe, when all of this was going on last year. And her store was looted and torched and all this sort of thing. And she's in absolute tears, and she's telling a local news reporter, she's looking at the camera and say, you say Black Lives Matter. I'm black. Look what you did to my store.
Yeah.
It was heartbreaking.
It absolutely is. At the same time, the city of Minneapolis made the brilliant move yesterday. They voted the city council unanimously to disarm traffic cops. That is to say, to have a separate wing of the police that will handle traffic violations, and those police officers will be unarmed. If you're chasing down a speeder, I can't believe I actually have to say this. How often do you catch the bad guy because they have a broken taillight? How often do you catch the bad guy because they have they've made a traffic violation of one kind or another? Ted Bundy was caught twice because of traffic violations in two different states. And we're going to send our cops out there without firearms to face whatever it is they're thinking. What's going through their heads here, Jeffrey?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I will say, you know, believe it or not, I had an experience like this when I lived in Washington, D.C. I lived on a lovely street filled with the old townhouses, restored townhouses, about three blocks from the Capitol. A neighbor across the street was going to have a neighborhood party, and I was asked, along with somebody else, to go to the local wine store and pick up the booze. And so we borrowed another neighbor's car. So we go and we pick this up, and we get almost back to our street. We're about to turn right on my street. And all of a sudden, we're pulled over by the police. Well, they wanted, you know, driver's license, and said, well, it wasn't our car, right? And, yeah. And neither of us had been drinking. So I have to fumble around in my friend's car, find it, give it. Well, this drew their suspicion. They demanded we get out of the car. It's raining. I started to say something, and my friend who's with me said, for God's sakes, do as they say. Good decision. I got out. They spread-eagled us on the trunk, searched us, and then realized that, oh, it was the wrong car. They thought they had the VIN number, vehicle identification number of a stolen car. It was wrong. They apologized. We got back in the car and went our way. The point being, Richard, don't fool around with this. The cops, both the cops who did this, were white. Both my friend and I were white. Don't fool around. When they ask you to do something, do it.
Yeah. It ain't rocket science. Hey, by the way, you got an apology out of them, which is unusual because I've had a couple of those incidences, and I never get apologized to, strangely enough. Have a nice night was the best, the closest that I ever got. Anyway, I'll take it. You know, whatever. I was stopped in my neighborhood. I moved to Orlando, Florida. I was in Maitland, actually. And I was walking along. I was wearing a pair of gym shorts. I had this concept that I was going to get in shape. And I was walking along, and the police came over, and they began hassling me, for want of a better term. And they said, do you have any ID on you? I said, no, I don't. They said, why not? I said, because I'm wearing gym shorts. I'm trying to work, walking my way toward this walking trail where I'm going to attempt to jog again for the 38th time in my life, et cetera. And I said, but I live right over there. I can get you some ID if you do. Oh, you live right over there. Okay, so I go over there and I get in, I get the ID and whatever. And I said, what made you stop me? And they said, well, we've worked this neighborhood for a long time. We know everybody in this neighborhood, and we've never seen you before. I'm like, well, I moved in like 2 days ago. Well, and you know what? Instead of being offended, instead of feeling like, how dare you ask me for ID? Where do you get off? I thought, isn't it nice that there are police officers in my neighborhood who will stop someone just because they're like, I don't recognize that guy. What the hell's he doing in this neighborhood?
That's exactly right. I had the same kind of experience there in D.C. on Capitol Hill. I'd left my front door open, and I was inside puttering around. It's a beautiful day. Next thing I know, there's a knock at the door, and it's a cop, a Capitol cop, as a matter of fact, since we were in the jurisdiction of the Capitol Police, wanted to know if I belonged there. I showed him my ID. I said, I live here, but thank you very much for asking.
So you didn't go the Skipper Gates route. You decided not to ask him, how dare you? Who do you think you are asking for my ID? You're only doing it because I'm white. Gates, of course, Columbia School of Law. That was that whole incident. They ended up having to have a beer summit.
The Rose Garden.
A beer summit. How embarrassing was that? You know, something Donald Trump would never engage in, a beer summit, because he doesn't drink. I'll tell you what, Jeffrey, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and continue this conversation. I have so much more to talk about, mostly having to do with infrastructure. Don't go away. We have on the Birmingham Broker Hotline our buddy Jeffrey Lord of the American Spectator, Conservative Review. I was mentioning earlier in the show, Jeffrey, how Hunter Biden's book in his first week of release sold a whopping 11,000 copies. You're an author. You've sold many books in your time. What's a good number for first week in sales?
Oh, goodness. You really do want to get into the high upper digits. You know, in our day and age, Richard, what you want to see is somebody say, X book has just climbed the charts on Amazon.
Yeah.
That's not what happened.
No. Here. And, not at all. No.
You know, there are some books that are measures of a public official's pull or support. I mean, Donald Trump would pump out these books, which he would have a co-writer with, and they would invariably shoot to the top of the bestseller list. And this is long before he became president. That's an indicator of the popularity of the author or the topic or the, you know, the political leanings and all of that kind of thing. I mean, I can tell you, I was in my local Barnes & Noble yesterday, and what are the books that are plastered, the front cover that are plastered literally right all over the front of the store, Barack Obama and his latest set of memoirs.
Yeah.
Now, that's serious popularity. Hunter Biden just hasn't touched it. And I mean, I just think people know what the deal is here, and they're not going there.
Well, by comparison, Donald Trump Jr. sold 115,000 copies of his book in the first week. Now they say, well, the RNC bought a bunch of those copies. Yes, and they used them as fundraisers. They had him sign them, and then they sold them for $50 a pop. If you gave a donation of $50, they would send you a signed book. And they got rid of them very quickly. So I think that would still qualify as he sold 115,000 copies in his first week compared to Hunter Biden's 11,000.
I will say this, Richard, and I've been doing this I started doing this when I was a kid. I was so into books. My personal library has volumes on every American president from George Washington to Donald Trump. Now I'm starting to build up my Biden thing. And I go out and buy all the books, the pros, the cons, et cetera, because when you write, when topic A comes up, there's lots of stuff you still can't find on the internet. And you can bring out, you know, some ex-aide's angry or supportive book of Franklin Roosevelt, let's say, or Herbert Hoover, and get to page such and such, and there is the info that you need. So I make a point of getting, I've already purchased Hunter Biden's book. I'm getting a couple pro-Biden.
You're the one.
I know there will be books in the opposition eventually as time moves on, and just for my own purposes, I think it's a good thing to have.
Just out of curiosity, how small is the William Henry Harrison section of the presidential library?
I'm
just
There is at least three books there. And as a matter of fact, over the weekend, I got yet another biography of James Monroe.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Glad to hear it. I'd hate to be involved in a fire in your home, I just want to say.
So would I.
Yikes. Infrastructure. So there's this bipartisan collection of senators that are trying to, at the very least, break apart this infrastructure deal that the Biden administration has put forward, saying, look, how about we actually have a vote on the part that's really infrastructure, and then we have another vote on the crap that you're calling infrastructure but isn't, like Green New Deal subsidies, like child care credits, like your immigration plans that somehow you seem to think fit under infrastructure. What are the odds that this is going to happen? Every time they talk about a bipartisan group of senators, I picture like four people huddled together in a corner. What do you think?
Yeah, I would be skeptical that this would happen. There's a reason Democrats are doing what they're doing. This is, I have to say, a very old tactic in Congress, is that you take a popular piece of legislation, in this case, the infrastructure defined as bridges and highways and that sort of thing, and then you put in there something that you want that has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Sure.
And make it impossible for the thing to pass unless your stuff is passed along with it. The minute you separate it out and it becomes a standalone issue, then it's got all kinds of vulnerabilities on its own. So I'd be a little surprised if Democrats went along with this.
Well, we saw this with the COVID situation, of course, the COVID relief bill, which was anything but a COVID relief bill. There was very little that actually went to COVID and a bunch that went to bailing out blue cities for making bad decisions. And now we're seeing this, and somehow the Senate parliamentarian says that this can be handled under, what's the word I'm thinking of? Where they, it's a...
Reconciliation.
Reconciliation, yes, that's it. Thank you. I was just about to say something really stupid. Reconciliation. How is this a budget situation?
Again, they have a lot of elasticity in their definitions. And as I think I told you somewhere along the line, I worked for a congressman on the House Budget Committee and spent more than my fair share of time being punished by reading this stuff. And everything, including the kitchen sink, goes in these bills, and they will broaden the definition as they need to. It's entirely elastic. They pretend that there are rules, but when push comes to shove, not really that is that so.
Kind of like demanding four more justices on the Supreme Court. Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. You heard Gerald Nadler the other day. That's not packing the court. That's unpacking the court.
Right, exactly. And up is down, and left is right, and black is white. And that's it for us. Jeffrey Lord, we appreciate you as always, and we'll do it again next Monday. Have a great week.
All right, my friend. Talk then. Bye-bye.
There you go, Jeffrey Lord, American Spectator, Conservative Review, the JeffreyLord.com. Newsmax TV. Check him out there probably literally in minutes. It seems like he's popping up there all the time. Okay.